B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Aired every week. He goes in there cocky, thinking, and now all of a sudden Miami is a better team than, well, actually they're better than we are because they beat us.
Yeah. Vic, that's why I say that this team, if Doug Peterson is going to come out after the game and say that the Miami Dolphins at 2-9, now at 3-9, are a better football team than their record, then that must mean the Eagles at 5-7 are a worse team, far worse team than their record.
Exactly. When he goes back and thinks about what he said, he's going to realize, if he has any brain at all, he's going to realize, what was I even thinking saying something like that?
Mm.
He was just ill prepared, and they're too cocky like that. And like you say, to give them a chance to score 23 points in the second half when we're up by 14, and everybody's right. What happened to the run game? I mean, we were doing pretty good with that. That takes time off the clock. That's how you got to beat these teams. And that guy, what's his name? Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
I mean, the last time he beat us really bad when he was with the Bucs, I believe.
Four touchdowns in that game.
Yeah. I've seen him at his worst, too. I've seen him throw four interceptions. The guy, the reason he was throwing him up, he don't care. They're a losing team, so he throws it up. If they catch it, they catch it. And they were making the plays.
Vic, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. But how's your 40 time? I always like to ask you that. How's your 40 time now?
I'm getting a little slower, though.
Oh, he lost a step. Vic, you're the man, brother.
All right. Take care, guys.
See you, buddy. Take it easy, man. You think about going into this game, the Dolphins had only scored more than 25 points against one other team. More than 25 points against one other team. The New York Jets. That's the level you're at right now. When you compare yourselves to that schedule where Doug Peterson wants to say they're better than the record, it doesn't really tell them the whole story. Okay, your record right now tells you that you had a worse performance against the Miami Dolphins than the New York Jets. You can tell me whatever you want to tell me about the damn, you know, the conference play, excuse me, divisional play and rival and all that. Forget it. This is no excuses whatsoever when it comes to how bad this team played yesterday. And this is nothing new. We've seen them play bad. But to play this bad against one of the NFL's worst, when the schedule, even Adam Schefter told us, the schedule lends itself to the Eagles winning the division. Then they go out there, and the Cowboys, by the way, on Thanksgiving, kick the door wide open for you,
yep.
And you don't want to win this division? That's what it comes down to. You have a cakewalk of a schedule from here on out, and it turns out you're the team that's getting pushed around and not the other teams remaining on your schedule. You mean to tell me Ronald Darby is going to get beat on those deep balls yesterday? Jalen Mills is going to get beat? There's going to be no consequences going forward? You mean to tell me Carson Wentz is missing guys in the flat again in this game? Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me Carson Wentz is taking sacks later in this game where he can't bounce back, where the ball could have just simply been thrown away? Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz are going to make mistakes on the football field, most notably Ertz, who left two touchdowns out there. And you're just going to tell me, yeah, everything's fine. No changes needed to be made. The only change that was made was Jordan Matthews getting cut. Like, way to go, guys. That's it. As a football team, you can't continue to tell the fan base and tell the locker room. If there's a theme of this show, it's that what you've been watching for this season, all season long, cannot go on. You cannot continue to tell me, as an organization, as a franchise, that everything is just fine and dandy. Because Howie Roseman ignored the deadline, he ignored all the trades, transactions throughout this season, to the point where he needed to bring back Jordan Matthews, and he needed to bring back Jay Ajayi. And you want to keep telling me everything's okay? BS.
Yeah, and you mentioned the two Ertz drops. He had another play which really aggravated me. And they had just gotten down 14-13, I believe, and it was a throw out to the left on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And he was running up the field, and there's one defender there coming at him, and I'm thinking, all right, bowl him over, get the first down, whatever. Mm-hmm. He just stepped out of bounds.
Yeah.
Trey talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It was super
on the 5 o'clock hour.
Soft.
I was like, What are you doing?
Yeah.
It looked like a quarterback scrambling and getting out of bounds so he doesn't get hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's soft.
He's soft at tissues.
Well, but what irks me more is he lost his footing on the first possession, which could have also been a touchdown. Lost his footing, could have been an interception, could have been a disaster.
Should have been an interception because he fell.
And then there was the play in the third quarter where he would have taken three steps into the end zone. He dropped the ball. And then there was the one in the corner of the end zone, which would have pulled them to, I think it would have been 36 to 34 at least.
Yeah.
Something that
And Trey said it this morning, the one at the 3-yard line. He heard footsteps coming.
That was the third quarter, yeah.
Yeah,
like he got it was soft.
Something needs to change. And I'm not talking about you just fire somebody for the sake of firing somebody. And I'm not saying you do it from a PR standpoint.
It's a message to the locker room.
You have to tell these players that what happened is not okay.
Hey,
it's
not Matt Collins, you just cost Mr. Walsh his job. How do you feel about that?
And it's not going to happen with, all right, let's go get the Giants and the rest of the schedule, because you're as bad as the rest of the schedule is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And let's not forget that the Cowboys put up 37 points on your ass not too long ago. And now you're supposed to go out there and beat them? Yeah, I know. What the most disheartening thing is that you're now in that category that you had every other team for the rest of the season in. You're now in that category. That's how bad it is right now in Philadelphia. I can't believe it. I can't believe how bad this. You get Alshon Jeffrey back before the game. Nelson Agholor, to his credit, played his best game. He had two big catches that were taken away because of penalties. One to Jason Peters, the other to Matt Collins for a block in the back. You want to call that a soft call? Fine, soft call, but it was a call nonetheless. Took away a good catch from a wide receiver that wanted to make a play. You had both those guys back. This offense couldn't click on all cylinders. I know you put up 31 points. But you couldn't click more than that. You were sputtering in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter. I saw Bob Petrone Jr. tweet out this. It was the first time in, I think, 17 games that the Eagles have scored in every quarter and lost.
Wow.
Like you finally established momentum where you can score. Now, granted, you had some good field position because of a turnover, because your defense showed up early and then disappeared. But you couldn't maintain momentum. And a lot of that does go on Doug Peterson. I know what we could talk about. If there's one story for this season, I still stick with the drops. It's unprecedented. A lot of teams have had injuries. Not a lot of teams have dealt with the drops that the Eagles have dealt with. That's the main storyline to me. But when it comes to the play calling, I look at that number too. Because Doug Peterson in this game, again, just got away from that run. And it was working for them. Miles Sanders was getting runs. You invested so much money in this offensive line over the last 2 weeks. $125 million you've invested in that offensive line on the right side of it with Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks. Mm-hmm. And you chose to, we're just going to keep pass, when you couldn't establish a run again in the second half? No excuse.
Yeah, 7 runs in the second half. That's not good. I mean, you know, there's nothing good about that. I mean, and absolutely, you know, especially when you're coming out of the half and you have they were up by a touchdown coming out of the half, 21-14,
yep,
I believe.
Yeah.
So then, you know, you even come out, you have 3 runs on a 7 play series. You score a touchdown, so now you're 28-14. And then they come back in and score another touchdown. So then now it's what, 28-21?
Yep.
I think so, yeah.
And then now
28-20, because they went for the 2 and they missed.
Yeah, they went for 2.
Or they missed the extra point, whatever it was.
Yeah. Hold on, let me see. You're making me second guess my notes.
Nonetheless.
No.
Eagles got beat.
Then you come back and you only run 3 run plays after that.
Man. Well, after they were up 28-14, I believe they ran 3 after
3.
That.
Yeah, 3.
That's pretty.
It's unbelievable. And, this isn't an easy fix. I'm sadistic, and on the flight home last night, I started looking over the salary cap numbers for next year. This isn't going to be an easy fix. You're literally going to have to hit on probably your first 3 or 4 draft picks to make a real impact of young, speed, athleticism, and cheap players, because there's some awful-looking dead salary cap number hits for this team. So, like, to the people out there, that are, just move on from Deshaun, move on from Alshon, move on from, you know, all these people. It's not going to be easy.
Well, all those people, one of those names that's involved in all those people is an interesting name. Because Joe Banner spoke recently about moving on from that money.
Yeah.
And he's saying, basically, if Pittsburgh was willing to eat a bunch of money with Antonio Brown, and he's better than, you know, Deshaun Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey.
Real quick.
If they're willing to eat that money in Pittsburgh, why not eat that money in Philadelphia?
They can't. I mean, you could. The two of those guys combined next year, their dead salary cap number is close to $39 million.
Uh-huh.
I don't see how they can do it.
I would eat it when it comes to Alshon. I wouldn't eat it for both him and Deshaun Jackson.
26.1.
I wouldn't eat it for Deshaun.
26.1. 0.1. Why the hell was that done?
Howie was playing better at the time.
Howie was playing with credit card money. He was deferring payments, deferring payments, deferring payments. And now guess what? You're at the point where you have to strip this thing down and kind of build it back up. And it's going to be real tough.
Howie's just signing up for credit cards now to get the free sweatshirt. That's what's happening right now. Billy and Delco, what's on your mind, Billy? Billy, turn down that radio.
20.
All right, let me know how that air check goes.
Oh, I sounded awful. You turn that off.
Brian in Jersey. What's up, Brian? Yo, Brian. Good talk. Try it later. Let's try Mike. What's going on, Mike? All right, the world is over.
Right,
the world's ending.
Give me a second here.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. No, coming up, we'll get a little bit more into those Joe Banner numbers going into next year. But you got to hear, again, Doug Peterson after the game last night was just, it made you want to slam your head against the wall. Because I don't want to hear about a team being better than their record is when they're a 2-9 team and you're competing, allegedly, to win a division. Because it certainly didn't look like a team that was aware of its status going into yesterday's game. It was a team that was still thinking they were a Super Bowl champion. That was a long, long time ago. And we even said on Friday, before this game, that the majesty of that Super Bowl win has worn off by now. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely worn off. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We'll let you hear that. We'll also let you hear from the one guy that was the most honest in the locker room yesterday, and I give credit to him for at least being honest after the game. He didn't have a great game by any means, but Malcolm Jenkins was at least the most honest player in that locker room. We'll also let you hear from Rodney McLeod, who just got torched yesterday. But at least, again, honesty. Didn't tell us something that wasn't when he was addressing the media after the game. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic is 8:11.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Coming up later today, I'll speak to Donovan McNabb at 9:30. Towards the top of the hour, around 8:50, we're going to talk to Brad Feinberg, betting expert from NBC Sports Philadelphia. A lot of people had some money on this game.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of bucks.
Good times.
A couple of props. Trey, I know you cashed in on one.
Yes, I did.
JGR Thega Whiteside with his first touchdown.
That's right.
And you got it.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
Plus 800.
Also, Brad will be joining us to talk about the show that I do with Anthony Gargano and Brad himself. BetCast on NBC Sports Philadelphia Plus, opposite the Sixers game tonight. So you can also catch that tonight. Brad will be talking us through that one as well. It is a fine football Monday on the Fanatic, and it's brought to you by Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Visit NoPayBryant.com for a heating contractor who will do whatever it takes to keep you warm this season. We played this a little bit earlier today, but I want to hit it one more time for you. Doug Peterson, a lot of people have a sticking point here with Doug Peterson saying that he should have called a timeout during right before that trick play. Before they scored a touchdown.
Is there another side to the argument?
There's Doug's side, and that's the wrong side?
Okay.
Everyone else who said he should have called a timeout, you're correct. But here's Doug Peterson on whether or not he even thought about calling a timeout when he saw that trick play formation.
No, I mean, that's something we knew that coming in here, that this is one of the more sort of gadget play special teams, you know, coordinators and teams that we have faced. And our guys were prepared during the week for anything that, you know, they presented us. Again, just, you know, great execution on their part.
As I said earlier, I would have rather Doug said, I was tying my shoe, I didn't see it, what happened? That would have been a better answer than that.
He told on himself.
We were prepared?
No, you weren't.
We were prepared.
Were
you prepared for Tom Brady, a little home run throwback against the Patriots? No, you weren't. Were you prepared for a little wide receiver touchdown pass against the Seahawks? No, you weren't. You certainly weren't prepared for a fake field goal, whatever the hell that was, for a place kicker catching a touchdown pass. By the way, that place kicker, Jason Sanders, has as many touchdown receptions as Mac Collins in his career. That's a little fun fact for you. You want to talk about your fun facts, Jamie? That's a fun fact for you. I would have rather said that Doug took a nap than give me that answer right there. We were prepared? Please. We knew they were going to run gadget plays in this game. You didn't know they're going to run that one.
In Doug's mind, is being prepared, saying during the week at some point in a team meeting, "Oh, and watch out, they might try to run some trickery." So let's be ready.
Yeah, what does that mean, Trey? When a coach says they're prepared for the gadget plays and then they're not, how do we take that?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, you know, the whole purpose of it is, and that's why you practice, is to say, okay, look, this is the formation. Let's line it up. All right, guys, you run it a couple times just so they can see how they're going to handle it. Mm. And did it look like they ran that at all at practice?
No. It looked real bad.
It was pretty damn bad.
It was a look away flip. It was like a Ben Simmons pass to the post.
Yeah, it was a run to the left.
They look away, it in, yeah. Throw it with the right, little shuffle pass.
It looked easy.
They made really fun, easy. Really easy.
Yeah, it was.
And then they mocked them, and they pointed in their face and laughed. Yeah.
And there was no response.
No, and the Eagles just took it.
Yeah, they did, especially
I would have loved for somebody to have just, you know, not clocked him, but shoved him, gotten in his face, done something. Show some life.
Yeah.
Just be alive out on the football field.
Give me a little Marcus Morris out there.
Yeah,
give me
seriously.
A little Marcus Morris. Now, here's the other thing. Wait, what?
I was going to say, you want some fun stats that just came out on Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby's performances yesterday?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, here we go. Courtesy of Next Gen Stats and our man Paul Hembekidis.
Yes.
Jalen Mills, 6 catches allowed, 102 yards, 2 touchdowns for a 144.4 passer rating for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Wait, it gets better. Ronald Darby, 4 catches, 101 yards for 1 touchdown and 109.7 passer rating.
Okay.
How about that?
The quote from Jalen Mills, and we alluded to this a couple of weeks ago, the quote from Jalen Mills after the Tampa Bay loss last year was all those fake, because I asked Jalen Mills, he told me specifically, he said, all those fake Eagle fans, they want to keep that same energy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And these are all very real Eagles fans that are very concerned about their football team, and rightfully so after an embarrassing loss than that. I saw Kevin Negandhi of ESPN, lifelong Eagles fan, said it was the worst and most disappointing Eagles loss since 2011. Most disappointing Eagles season since 2011. Not far off.
One of the things that came to mind was the Joe Webb game.
The Tuesday night game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awful.
Oh, yeah.
Eagles were ill-prepared for that one as well.
That's how bad we're talking.
It's that awful. But when you watch that Eagles team play yesterday, there's no comforting after that game. It's every ounce of it was terrible. You go around with blame. That's why when we started the show and we talked about who are you really blaming for this loss, it's everybody. But when it's everybody, you kind of look towards the head coach, because the head coach was not ready to play this game. But Jalen Mills said after that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where Ryan Fitzpatrick torched them, keep that same energy. All those fake Eagle fans want to rip us now. Let's see what happens when we bounce back. Well, you know what? Of course, we're all hoping that they bounce back, but no one's getting their hopes up right now. But you know what? This might make you feel better, because Doug, he didn't stop there. Trey, you want to know that if you lost a game, you lost to a good football team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't you look at that 2-9 record, what the Dolphins were boasting about going into that game yesterday, because I didn't even know this, but it turns out that the Dolphins were a good football team. Here's Doug Peterson postgame.
That's a good football team. I'll tell you, it's a good football team. Record does not indicate anything about them at all. They're well coached. It's a disciplined group. They play hard. You see that on film, you know, and even some of the games that, you know, obviously their record, again, doesn't show that, but these guys battle for 60 minutes, and we knew that coming down here.
Yeah. How about that? They're a good football team. They're not a good football team, Trey. They suck. But unfortunately, you're suckier than the 2-9 Dolphins team.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Flores out-coached the hell out of you.
Yes. They came in ready to play. It looked like we just felt like we were just going to show up and go down there and get a win. And all we had to do is just our bravado will take care of the game. All we need to do is just show up and they will fall down. They'll look at the wings on our helmet and we'll just submit.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't the case.
You know, the guy that really pantsed you as an offensive coordinator, Chad O'Shea, remember what he was doing before he was with the Dolphins?
No.
He was a caretaker, wasn't he?
He was with the Patriots for like 9 years as a wide receivers coach.
Okay.
And then he went over to take over the offensive coordinator responsibilities with the Dolphins.
Oh, okay.
Did he get fired by his father?
I don't think so. But he was a wide receivers coach with the Patriots.
Yeah.
And he spent a long time in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He's only, I think, 48 or 47 right
looks
now.
Young.
Yeah,
looks young.
Yeah, he looks like a pup.
Yes.
Your wide receiver coach that you promoted to offensive coordinator, not looking so hot.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to have a better quarterback than, you know, the Dolphins.
And he didn't spend 9 years with the New England Patriots.
None of these are bragging points, by the way. None of them. 610-632-0975. At least, Doug, be honest with me. Be as honest as Malcolm Jenkins was, because he didn't pull any punches in the locker room yesterday. Here's Malcolm Jenkins talking to the assembled media.
Well, we don't want to be Captain Obvious. We didn't play well. We know that. There's no need to beat a dead horse. Figure out what it is. Watch the tape like you would any other day. Go back to work.
Trey, how would you respond after a loss like this?
Pretty much the same way. Look, we didn't play well. He didn't play well. There's nothing else that you can say about it. I heard that a lot of the players were declining this comment.
Nelson Agholor, I don't think, spoke to the media. Mm-hmm. I don't think Alshon Jeffrey spoke to the media. What is it that they were, like, going to say? If they were going to be, like, Nelson Agholor, flat out. Like, you know you're getting a close-up. After Carson Wentz overthrew him in the flat on that, whatever the hell that was.
Yeah.
That looked like a bad play.
Right.
You saw him turn around like, what the hell kind of thing? Like, you know the camera's on you at that point.
Yeah.
There's problems with this locker room.
They're frustrated with their quarterback.
I'm pretty sure their quarterback is frustrated with them, too.
I don't disagree with
you. So you're going to act like that when I overthrow you, but when I do put it in your hands, you don't make a catch?
Trey. Well, come on, you're being unfair. The ball was out of position.
Yeah,
come on, you're being
unfair.
Came
in with the wrong trajectory.
It's bad. I mean, it goes both ways, and I think it leads to locker room problems.
Well, it's like what we were talking about yesterday. It might not be, I think I used the term, like, blow up the team. It's not like that. It's definitely blow up the receiving core. Like, you're looking at three guys that you might have to move on from. Alshon, Deshaun Jackson, and, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know, Joe Banner brought that up, but he also mentioned Deshaun Jackson's name. And then also moving on from Nelson Agholor, Alshon Jeffrey, and Matt Collins. And I'm fine with pretty much all three of those names, despite how much money it might cost you. Let's get to Jay in West Philly. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how you doing? I just don't see the intensity with Carson Wentz is good that you got the right players around him. Where, meanwhile, I just like to say Nick Foles was sitting on the bench while we was playing the game and benched him.
Oh, jeez.
So, I'm just saying.
No, I didn't realize there was another doomsday scenario, Jay. But Friday when I was talking about the doomsday scenario of the Eagles just losing the game, I wasn't thinking about what Nick Foles would do or wouldn't do in his game, but imagine just for a second that Nick Foles, imagine that he threw like three touchdowns and threw for 300 yards and won his game yesterday. Instead, he was benched and he turned the ball over, I think, on his first three possessions. But imagine that he had a good game yesterday. What would we be saying?
Well, the thing about it is I always believe Nick Foles only can play in Philly. He only can play in this system.
That's
for
not true.
That's just what I see. But nevertheless, and Trey, I always respect your comments, but I just think that Wentz is not that good. And B is not that good. They're just talented. That's the difference.
What is going on in the background there, Jay?
Oh, I'm in daycare.
Can you ask any of those little kids if they want to call plays for the Eagles next week?
The Diamonds.
The
Eagles. Hey, gosh.
Oh, like that. What did you think of Doug Peterson yesterday?
He's a decent coach.
No, is your kid there? Do you have a kid there?
No, they took him already. I see him at three.
What a way to put that. My man, Jay, thanks for the call, buddy.
All right, have a good one.
Thanks, Jay. They took him.
They took him already. Them bastards, they took him already.
I don't know where he is. I assume they took him.
That's a new bid. Can kids at a daycare call better plays than Doug Peterson? What would you do in this scenario when you're up by two touchdowns in the second half? Run the football. Very good. Let's get to Paul and Ron Hurst. What's up, Paul?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
For those that didn't hear me on Friday, Paul, I did bring my own turkey to my brother-in-law's, and I did not have pizza.
Oh, awesome. And you know what? I do apologize that I didn't hear you, but because I was getting good news, if you guys know, I've told you earlier in the year I'd been sick for a couple of years.
Yeah, man.
Figured, you know, you guys keep my spirits up, so I want to give you some great news despite what happened yesterday. I found out that I'm cancer-free.
All right.
Yeah.
Congratulations,
thank you.
Paul.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Absolutely. Well, you guys have kept me positive, especially this year, because things have, you know, I've really gotten a punch to the gut every couple of weeks, and I appreciate it. But listen, man, that game yesterday was frustrating from the moment the Dolphins made it 14-13. You could just tell that the team looked deflated. No one cared. And it seems like it's been like that the whole season. There's no one who, you mentioned this a few moments ago. There's no swagger. There's no one who's ready to punch someone in the mouth.
it's like, okay, we're down. We'll be okay. Okay, we lost. You know what? We'll bounce back next week. And you get that from the coaches. You get that from the players. And it's aggravating, man. I feel like it's not just this season. I don't know what's happened to the Eagles the last couple of years. There's this namby-pamby attitude. Like, where's the toughness? Where's the grit? Where's that passion to just knock these sons of a guns out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't get that. I'm sorry. I don't mean to get aggravated, but you know what I feel like doing? I feel like going old-school Portuguese, bring the wooden spoon, and whacking these sons of guns across the head until they learn to stand up and fight. And they haven't done that.
I love that idea. The wooden spoon is still a very haunting thing to me, too. I'm not even Portuguese, but I know what you're saying. It was pretty universal. My man. No.
Exactly.
Hey, Paul, you don't have to apologize for getting heated, man. Everybody's heated. But in all seriousness, God bless you. Congratulations. You're still in our prayers, and I wish you nothing but the best, buddy.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
See, you have a great day.
You as well, Paul. Congrats, man. You go celebrate. Why can't they do it for Paul? There's people like Paul out there. Why couldn't they do it for Paul yesterday, Trey? Leaving him out like that. You look at this team play, and you watch them play with swagger. You do watch it. Like, against Russell Wilson, even on mistakes that were by Russell Wilson in that game, you still see Jalen Mills with the, incomplete. You didn't have anything to do with it. But the hell with it. It was incomplete.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you see Ronald Darby, same type of thing. As I told you when I talked to Ronald Darby a couple of weeks ago, one of the things that he really wanted to take credit for was the celebrations. And it's like, that's what gets under your skin, is other people want to take credit, that they want to take the spotlight off of you.
Yeah.
And then you watch
it. That's really weird.
It's incredible. The ski masks. Oh, Saints thought that it was them. No, that was us. I was like,
that's what you're focused on?
Hey, remember that Super Bowl? That was fun. But when you look at these defensive backs, and you look at how they're coached, whatever it might be, they just look completely lost yesterday.
Well, yeah. That was because you played against an 8-2 team and a 9-1 team. Or 8-1 team.
So they played up.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So then now when you have someone that's 2-9 and you feel like, hey, we should go out there and just dominate these guys, but you don't play, they didn't have that same energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
They didn't match it even a little bit. By the way, the play that he was talking about, or one of the, at the time of the game, 14-13, Dolphins were leading second quarter, about a minute 50 left in the game, in the half. That's the play that we were talking about earlier with Dallas Goedert. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz faked the throw, I think it was to Nelson Agholor, on the left side of the field, and then went back to his right for Dallas Goedert, who was running that screen.
Right.
The right side of the offensive line went out there to set up the screen with, it was Kelce, Lane Johnson, and Isaac Seumalo.
And Brandon Brooks was supposed to be in there, too.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he was a little late to the party.
I don't even think he got to the party.
Yeah.
This is live radio, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing this for you just for the sake of accuracy. Brandon Brooks on that play got pushed in the backfield, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
He was, he did. He made it up there, but he didn't make any blocks.
Yeah.
So he did make it off the line of scrimmage. Yeah, a little late in getting upfield there for whatever reason. So Dallas Goedert gets the ball on the right side of the football field. He's supposed to have four blockers in front of him. Seumalo and Brooks were late getting there. Brooks is already on that side of the field. How is he late?
Because he let the defensive tackle cross his face, and he just tried to block him deep, block him further back. And also on that play, you see how Lane and Kelce are kind of on the same guy. Instead of it being, all right, Lane, you take the first one, then Kelce goes up to the second.
Hat on a hat.
Yeah.
That wasn't hat on a hat.
No,
you got two guys on one,
you know. So then now that means that one extra blocker is missing already because you have two guys on the same one.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is stuff that needs to be worked out in practice, though. I mean, this is what you practice for. This needs to be discussed. All right, here, look, this, you have to have landmarks when it comes to the screen game. You don't just run out there just all willy-nilly. There's a time that has to go with it. Then you have to have your landmarks. All right, first person out, you take the first blocker. Next one, you go up to the second one, and then it works from there. But, you have both Kelce and Lane on the same guy.
Right, and I get that. I remember there was a problem towards the end of last year where they didn't isolate the blocks on the outside part of the field for a similar type of play. And I think it was Brooks out there in Lane. Or no, it was Brooks and Kelce, I believe, that were out there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, with this particular play, I was originally looking at Dallas Goedert saying, why are you running past your blockers? But now after seeing that, obviously timing is a big part of it and it starts with the blocking up front. Now I'm upset that Dallas Goedert didn't bounce it to the outside now that I see it again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lane Johnson at least had outside contain on that. Or not outside contain, but he had the outside block there. It would have been better if Goddard took it to the outside.
But that's where you get that because everybody's standing up blocking.
Mm-hmm.
You got to cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Just cut
say, yeah.
and let him do his thing. You know, but when you're out there trying to block, you know, it gets muddled. And all he sees is bodies. He's just looking at, you know, hey, he's in the middle of all of this and everybody's back is to him. Cut. Just yeah. cut the legs and then allow the runner to go ahead and make his decision.
And that was the real quick, Bob, that was the play, or the drive, rather, that I believe that ended with the JZR thing, a Whiteside touchdown.
Yeah, it was. And there's a reason that you throw screen passes usually to running backs, because you get them out in the open field, and that's their specialty. Or wide receivers, that's their specialty, breaking tackles, running. Dallas Goedert is what he is. You got 10 yards on the play. I thought the exact same thing, Mark, when I was watching it yesterday. Like, oh, is he running ahead of those guys? But then when he comes down 10-yard gain, I said, okay, I guess that's what you want to get out of a wide receiver screen to your tight end. Mm-hmm. Or not a wide receiver, a screen pass to your tight end.
Right.
Is, all right, he lumbered for 10 yards. I guess take it and go on.
Yeah, right. 610-632-0975. We're getting a lot of responses. So I did tweet yesterday that I would expect people to be fired or cut, whatever it might be, today.
Yeah.
And I think the Eagles are in a situation where they have to go outside their norm. And I know what that word norm causes.
This is our new norm.
Nope, not cool. Not it's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just sustaining what you've gone through for this entire season. You can't do that anymore. You can't continue to tell me we all we need when you're worse than a 2-9 team going into yesterday and at 5-6, especially when you have a hell of a lot more to play for than they do.
And for, you know, to think that they can just turn this around now. But if they still, you know, I don't know how good this team can get. Like, what's right. the best that we've seen? A game up in Green Bay where they were helped an awful lot by good field position, right?
Mm-hmm.
Carson didn't even throw for over 200 yards. He was below 200. You know, you played a solid game up there. You came out with a win. May have had more to do with Green Bay than it actually had to do with you. But where's the sustainability of this being even close to a good team?
So to what I tweeted yesterday in terms of somebody being fired today, somebody right. being cut today, something needs to happen. You can't continue to tell the fan base that everything's just fine and dandy with this team. Most people are saying, I don't think it's going to happen, but I hope it does. It needs to happen. Make no mistake about it. You need to send a message because you're not going to make, to your point, Bob, that big acquisition right now. The big acquisitions you've made recently are Jordan Matthews, Jay Ajayi, and Jannard Avery, if you want to go back to the trade deadline. That's it. Those aren't big acquisitions, but those are the moves you've made to your defense, or excuse me, to your offense. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up in a minute, we'll talk about this game and what it meant in the betting world, and also how surprised is the betting world. How surprised as we are looking at this game, considering it got up to, what, 10 points? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 8:40.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with you. And on the line with us right now, a little special broadcast going on tonight. It's called BetCast on NBC Sports Philadelphia Plus. Sixers Jazz will be covering the game through the eyes of a better and no better than I know, the Mr. Brad Feinberg, who joins us right now. What's going on there, Brad?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Been better, my friend. Yeah. Brad Feinberg, myself, Anthony Gargano will be bringing that BetCast tonight, but first we got to talk about this Eagles game, Brad. Insane. Did you bet anything on this game? Did you touch this game? Did you stay away from it?
I did not bet this game. It's interesting. I can't tell you how many people told me before the game, this is the game I'm, you know, I haven't, and I was even talking to your producer, he said the same thing to me. This is the game I'm taking the Eagles. There's no way the Eagles don't blow this team out. Like, this is it. This is an easy win. And, you know, people betting it in teases,
right.
Money line parlays. I mean, no one I know took Miami, and it was not a game I bet. But it was just, it's an interesting, you know, lesson. Again, that's why they play the games. You know, you never know as much as you think you know. But listen, it's Philadelphia. It's just I'm not going to overcomplicate the obvious. They're just really not a very good team. And I think because of the expectations that they were going to be good by most people, me included, that they were going to be a dominant team this year. It's been a huge surprise, but they're a 5-win team right now.
Yeah. Speaking with Brad Feinberg. Now, Brad's a professional bettor. This is how you make your living, which is just nuts to me. But Brad, you're watching this game yesterday, and well, let me ask you, going into it, why did you choose to stay away from it?
I actually thought the line came in higher than I thought it would be. I thought the line would come in closer to like 7, 7.5, 8, and it came in at, it closed to, you know, over 10.5 points. So it was a little higher than I thought, but I did not want to bet Miami just because I didn't know motivation-wise, just, you know, the game meant so much more to Philadelphia. But also, Ryan Fitzpatrick, to me, is probably his variance, Mark, I would say, in the NFL, in terms of quarterbacks, is as high as any quarterback I can ever recall in terms of variance, and where some days you get a guy that's absolutely really bad. Another day you get a guy who had a game like yesterday, and we saw him do it against Philadelphia. He did it against Tampa Bay last year. Did the exact same thing, Mark.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick has those games in him where if you watched him on maybe, if he played 16 games, if you watched him on 4 or 5 of those 16 games, you would maybe think you were watching, you know, John Elway in his prime. In another 11 games, you'd be thinking maybe, you know, you'd be seeing a second string quarterback. And he's a very erratic guy. And yesterday he had his good stuff, so to speak. And Devontae Parker, again, I mean, he obviously just torched Philadelphia, but just was not a game that I was looking to get involved in because the number came in higher than I thought. But again, motivation wise, all the edge was for Philadelphia. The game meant so much more to them. So it was a no play for me.
Wow. Speaking with Brad Feinberg, NBC Sports Philadelphia. BetCast tonight. Brad, me, Anthony Gargano will be on opposite the Sixers game on NBC Sports Philadelphia Plus at 7 o'clock through the eyes of a better approaching that game tonight. But real quick on the Eagles again, one more time. Rest of the season, how do you evaluate this team? I mean, they go in to face New York. Rather, they face New York and South Philly, so they're home. They're favored by 8 against the Giants. Can you see the Eagles really ever living up to that expectation again, an 8-point favorite?
Yeah, I can see them covering this game, but I will say this. Like, most people I seem to think, okay, they play New York twice. That's 2 definite wins. I don't think that's 2 definite wins at all. They'll be favored in both games, but I could easily see them losing a game in New York. You know, people have seen that there was, because of this schedule, there was no way they couldn't lose because they were bad teams. But guess what? I think this team's closer to a bad team than a good team also. So I think they can lose to anyone, but I do think they'll win the game straight up against New York. New York obviously is a turnover machine. And you know, Miami, say what you want to say about them. They've actually, if you look at it, Mark, after the last first 5 games of the year, Miami's been a much better team than the Giants, actually. Mm-hmm. They really have. They've actually had some really good moments. New York really hasn't. I think the Eagles will win this game. Will they cover again? This is not a game I'm going to bet with the points, but I will, in a teaser, you know, go take Eagles down from 8 to -2 and a 6-point teaser. I can see doing that.
All right, Brad,
I think they'll win the game.
Brad, looking at the broadcast that we're going to do tonight, the BetCast, NBC Sports BetCast with Anthony Gargano, you and me as well. What's your favorite? First off, did you ever think betting would get to this point where now there are literally live broadcasts that cover the game from that complete bettor's perspective?
You know, I can't say I thought this would happen, Mark, but I really felt that as a country, we were living a little bit in the prehistoric days where I really did think there was a time where, like, my kids were going to say, oh my God, can you believe in 2015, like, betting wasn't legal? Because it has been legal in almost every other country. People love to do it. And it just, because we had that PASPA rule, that New Jersey fought successfully to overturn, it took a long time to get to this point. But I actually think this is just the tip of the iceberg. And I think we're going to see it explode that much more. I think that we're going to see, when you go into the Wells Fargo Center, there's going to be betting kiosks everywhere eventually one day. Wow. I think we're going to see, when you go into all the Wawa, instead of buying lottery tickets, you can go put in your sports bets. I think that's even going to be more the future, Mark. And but I think it's good. Again, people enjoy it. And if you do it responsibly, you do it, and you don't overbet, you don't do things you shouldn't do, I think it can be a very fun thing that people enjoy, people have fun with, and it enhances the enjoyment of the game for the viewer,
in my opinion. I think the only thing we need to do is work on making you more of a stereotypical gambler. Like, you need, like, a leather jacket, a smoking habit, and, you know, you just always need to be bitching and complaining, but you never do that. You're the nicest guy I ever met, Brad.
Mark, you don't see me behind closed doors. That's what you're saying. I don't do that.
Good point. Brad, I look forward to doing the show again with you and Anthony Gargano tonight, NBC Sports Philadelphia Plus. 7 o'clock tip-off tonight with Sixers and Jazz, and we'll be doing the NBC Sports Betcast tonight, NBC Sports Philadelphia Plus. Brad, you're the man. Thanks so much.
I can't wait. Take care, guys. Enjoy your show.
You too. Brad Feinberg, professional bettor.
How about that? You would love to have that title.
Nah, professional bettor? Nah,
you don't.
Me? No. That's really, like, stressful.
Trey could be a professional bettor.
He practically is.
I have my moments.
You and JJ are thinking Whiteside.
Oh, yeah. More good moments than bad. I know that.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Yeah. My buddy yesterday he texted me, you know, we're all like, text chains are fired up. Oh, everybody's, you know, bitching and moaning. My one buddy, Brian Hicks, texted me. He goes, I had a prop bet of JJ Arcega Whiteside and the Eagles to win for plus 950. I would have broken my phone.
I got a text, but nothing to do with betting. I got a text message from a cousin I haven't heard from, and actually my cousin's
fiance. Freaky one?
No.
You know, you can't even use the cousin.
I don't have cousins anymore. Like, that's how I have to live my life. I got a text from a friend, some guy I know. He's a Dolphins fan.
Wow.
He's from up here, is what it is. And he was like, hey, I thought it was a good game. And I'm like, you leave me alone. Like, I think the last text I got from him was like, hey, congrats on your wedding. And I'm like, no, I'm cool.
Yeah. It was leaving that stadium yesterday. It was, you know, they were very jubilant and happy. And it was just kind of like, you guys enjoy this one. Mm. I got nothing.
Right away on Twitch, somebody... Tom Bomb 615, Freaky Cousins back. Thanks. Thank
How
you.
How is she? Weren't you down near her?
I did not
area?
See her. I did not see her. Yes, I went to see my mom's side of the family, who lives in Baltimore. And
why not stop to see her?
Because she lives not in Baltimore.
Oh, I thought she was down from around there. No. Where exactly is she from?
Mark? I don't know. You know, I don't even think I've met her. I don't even think I have a family. I'm a lone ranger. I'm the lone wolf of the wolf pack. Mike in Virginia has an interesting question. Nothing to do with my cousin. What's up there, Mike?
Just quick question. Just want to know why people think Howie's the right guy for the rebuild. And I guess an even further question is, you know, is Doug just lightning in a bottle? In 2017, this is who he is.
It's beginning to look more and more like that. And what? To answer your question real quick about Howie Roseman.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.